I'm holding on your test. I'm at bays two of the second lines from the bottom. Still talking about the Dinim of Tumah V'Tahara, and specifically the Mishnah had been talking about the Milus, the various levels of Tahara that you have. There's Chulin, there's Mais, and then there's Chulin, there's Tumah, and there's Kodesh, and so forth. Now, we touched yesterday on the concept that besides all these various ones where you have, for example, you have Mais, or you have Tumah, you have Kodesh, etc., you also have the concept of Chulin that were prepared to the standards of something higher than it. Chulin that are prepared to the standards of Tumah, or to the standards of Kodesh, or whatever. This is called Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh, or Al Taras Tumah, or whatever. Why you would be doing that? One possible reason, Rashi says, is if you have a person, for example, who often eats kodshim, say a person who lives in Yerushalayim and often has occasion to eat from korbanos, he may want to always eat his chulin at the same level of tara in order that he'll be familiar with the rules when it comes to eating kodshim. This way he and his family will know all the ins and outs of it. The other idea is, the Meiri says, you might have a person who, for example, prepares his wine or his oil, let's say, under conditions of Kodesh, in order that then it can be used for Korbanos.
It doesn't diminish the value of the Korbanos or the Trumah by keeping the same Tahara?
No. So, Omer Amari, Shema Mina, we see from our Mishnah, Cholin Shanasu Al Taras HaKodesh Kodesh Damu, that when you have Cholin that are prepared, again, according to the standard of Kodesh, they have the din of Kodesh. Mimai, why is that? Midaloi katoni, b'humaila, because the Mishnah does not say, again, the Mishnah had mentioned the levels over there, that you have the clothes of an Amoretz are tame relative to a parush, to somebody who eats, to somebody who's careful with the chulin, with the tara of the chulin. Then it said that big day prushim are midras la'ochle truma. It didn't say anything about chulin al taras hakodesh. So therefore, that goes to show, because it's on the same level as Kodesh, so there's no reason to list it as a separate thing. I think I'm asked why. Maybe that's exactly it. V'dumahai d'loi katoni b'hu maila. Maybe the reason why it doesn't mention a maila, because, however you look at it, d'i double truma hatoni truma, if you're going to say that chulin shanasu al taras kodesh have the status of truma, then fine, it says truma. And if you're going to say they have the status of chulin, then it already mentioned chulin. There's no reason to mention it specifically, because there's no separate mila over there. So you can't prove that. Ditznan, Tanya, there's actually a machlokes on this subject. Chulin shanasu al taras hakodesh. If this chulin that was prepared according to the standards of kodesh, harein kechulin, they still have the din of chulin in the sense that, when we say they have the din of chulin, in the sense that we said yesterday or the day before that with chulin you only go as far as sheni or truma. You have once you start getting to vlados of truma where it can only be metame food and drinks, not people or clothes, by chulin you only have rishon and sheni and it stops there. What we're saying is, according to the Tanakhama of this Braisa, even though this chulin is nasu al taras hakodesh, you're trying to keep it for the standards of kodesh, nevertheless, it still doesn't go further than sheni. Wait, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok says, Maharein Katruma, and Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok says it has the same status. Hello? It has the same status as truma.
So then it can go further than
sheni? So it can go to shlishi. The point is, though, that either way, one way or the other, there wouldn't be any reason for our Mishnah to say, for example, that the clothes of somebody who eats chulin b'tahara are midras for oichli chulin al taras hakodesh, according to Tanakhama, because they'd be on the same level. They'd both be a sheni anyway. There's no reason to consider one a midras to the other. Similarly, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok, if you say that it's like truma, fine, the Mishnah doesn't have to say the clothes of people who eat truma are midras for oichle chulin v'tara, because it would be the same thing. It's shlishi and shlishi. There's no difference in levels over there.
It's truma and shlishi.
And chulin and sheni, right. So either way you look at it, there's no real proof from our Mishnah that what chulin shanasu al taras hakodesh, whether they would be considered like kodesh or like chulin or like truma, you can't prove it from the Mishnah.
Either way, they're even.
Yeah, because either way, it's even with something that's mentioned in the Mishnah, right? Ela miseifa, but no, rather we can learn it from the second part of the Mishnah. Yosef ben Yehazah had a chassid shavakorna. That Yosef ben Yehazah, the Mishnah had said, was the great chassid among the Kohanim. And yet his handkerchief, we said, was midras for people who eat kodesh, because he usually ate truma only. He usually wasn't prepared for eating kodshim. And continued, Yochanan ben Gudgudah ha'yochel al taras ha'kodesh kol yomav. Yochanan ben Gudgudah throughout his life ate all his chulin al taras ha'kodesh. And we said, v'hoisim et pachtem midras ha'chatas. And we said his handkerchief was midras as far as chatas, as far as par aduma. What's the implication? L'chatas ein l'kodesh loy. So what are we saying? That his handkerchief was midras as far as chatas, not as far as kodesh. Now why not? If you were to say that his chulin still does not have the status of kodesh, if his chulin doesn't have the status of kodesh, then his handkerchief should be midras for people who read kodesh.
Handkerchief doesn't have.
If chulin should not do al taras ha, if Yochanan ben Gudgudah's chulin, which he prepared according to the standards of kodesh, but if we were to say like the Tanakama or like Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, that it has only the status of chulin or the status of truma, meaning it can only go as far as sheni or as far as shlishi, as the case may be, then we would still have to say that his handkerchief should be midras for people who eat kodesh, just like we said about Yosef ben Yezer. Since he usually ate truma, it's tomes for people who eat kodesh. But we don't say that. We say by Yochanan ben Gudgudah it was only midras as far as chatos, as far as par aduma. Therefore, alma kasava. Therefore, we see chulin, that the Mishnah holds chulin shenatsu al taras kodesh kodesh namu. So therefore, we see that our Mishnah holds that chulin shenatsu al taras kodesh have the status of kodesh, and therefore Yochanan ben Gudgudah, his clothes and his handkerchief and whatnot all had the, even though he was only eating chulin, not actual kodshim, nevertheless, with the state of tara that he's in right now, that he and his clothes are in right now, he would be able to eat kodshim. He just wouldn't be able to touch par aduma stuff. He wouldn't be able to touch par aduma water without toveling again, without toveling himself and his clothes again. This, of course, would be one of the milas midrabanan.
Can he keep the handkerchief midras kodesh and his clothes are not?
Well, the reason we mention his handkerchief is just because, I mean, you usually wipe your hands with your handkerchief during the meal, but it's also sometimes you sit on it. That's what makes it able to be midras. Yeah, I mean, the same din applies to his clothes as well. His clothes would also be midras lachata. Same idea. We're just mentioning his handkerchief because it's a common object to use by a meal. I mentioned yesterday, by the way, that in a number of places, Chassidus notably, there's a couple of Maimarim in Torah Ur, where the Alter Rebbe discusses the idea. You have chulin, and then you have chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh. Chulin just means the mundane things of the world. Chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh is when you're using those, is when you're taking those things and using them for purposes of kush. And then the Alter Rebbe relates it to the whole idea of mila. Incidentally, actually, in one of those Maimarim, the Alter Rebbe refers back to what we had a few days ago about chashmal, chayis, about chashmal being a bridge between one olam and the next. Sometimes they speak, sometimes they're silent, yeah.
Many
of these dinim depend on your mind anyway. We just said all these dinim, for example, the fact that the Mishnah had mentioned you tovel and you have in mind a certain level of tara, it all depends on what's in your mind. So yeah. Today we don't apply with these dinim, right. Amr of Yonasan ben Amram. Amr of Yonasan ben Elazar. Nafla ma'aparte hemenu, if somebody's scarf falls off him, Rashi explains that ma'aparte is a sudr, which is kind of sort of like something between a scarf and a turban. Like they use it to cover their head and their shoulders. Like, so if a person's ma'aparte, it's maybe sort of like a kafiyah, yeah. So a person's ma'aparte falls off, Omer l'chaver t'neho li, he tells his friend, please give it to me, v'nosna lo, and his friend gives it to him, t'meya. We consider that ma'aparte to be tamei, even though the friend is tahar, which we have to understand why that should be. If both of them are tahar, why would we say that the scarf is now tamei? And before we get to that, we have another din. Amar Rabbi Yonas min Amram, nischalfa lekelim shel Shabbos bekelim shel chol. If somebody mixed up his Shabbos clothes and his weekday clothes, olavoshan, and he put them on, so he meant to take his weekday clothes and he took his Shabbos clothes instead, and he put them on, nitmu, they also become tamei. Now, all of this, basically what we're going to be, what the Gemara is going to be talking about over here is the concept of Shmira as far as Tara. There's a din you have to have in order for something to remain Tahar. You have to be guarding it against any kind of Tumah. And we're going to be discussing exactly what that guarding consists of.
No.
It just means, no, it doesn't mean you have to lock it up, but it means you have to have your mind on it. You can't have Hesach Hadas. So that's what we're going to be discussing on the Talmud over here. Right. So the first din was about the scarf. The other person gives it to you. It's still considered tummy. Second case is that you yourself have two sets of clothes, but you got one mixed up with the other. Then they become tummy. And a third din, Amar Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadik, Mais v'shtei noshim chaveres. It happened once with two women who were both chaveres. They're both chaver is another word for what we mentioned in the Mishnah as parush, people who are careful about the dinim of Tumah v'Tahara. So these two women were both chaveres. Sheneschaufel and klein beveis hamechus. They mixed up their clothes in the bathhouse. Each one took the other one's clothes. Uvamaisi lefnei Rav Akiva v'timan. And the case came to Rav Akiva, and he declared the clothes tummy. Even though they're both chaveres. So we have three cases over here that's what we have to figure out. What exactly is wrong with the Shmira in each of these cases? What exactly do we say is wrong with the Shmira that we could say anything is tummy? So Master Sotab Oshia, Sotab Oshia asked a question on all this. Ella Me'atza, based on this, so what you're saying, even, for example, you mixed up your clothes, Ella Hoshit Yodi Lasal, little paschit, and what if a person, for example, sticks his hand into a basket of bread to take out a loaf of wheat bread, but also the other pastor, and instead he takes out, by mistake, a loaf of barley bread. Hachinami de nitmes. So you're going to tell me, by the same logic, because he meant to be guarding a loaf of wheat bread against tumah and not a loaf of barley bread, therefore you would say it's considered tamei. V'chitema hachinami, and so you might answer, yeah, indeed. If he doesn't take out the right loaf of bread, then maybe it would be tamei. But no, v'hatanya, but we learn in a braita, hamashamer asachav es becheskes shoyayin. If somebody is guarding a barrel against tumah, thinking that it's wine, v'nimtis shoshemen, and it turns out instead that it was oil, tahurim alatamei, then it's tahur in the sense that it can't make something else tamei. Obviously, again, we're still talking about the Milus de Rabbanon. We're not talking about Tumah and Tahara d'Oraisa. What we're saying over here is that Mid Rabbanon, if you didn't guard it at all, there's a possibility something Tommy might have touched it, so therefore Mid Rabbanon, it's Metame other things.
But I mean, the fact that he mistakes a barrel of Tumah for oil, but he still had in mind the barrels.
That's exactly what we're saying. Tahara Mulatame. So that's exactly what Oshia is asking. You see, the barrel is Tahara in the sense that it doesn't make something else Tame. So by the same logic then, with wheat versus barley bread, so the same logic ought to apply, for example, to the case of the weekday and the Shabbos clothes. And by extension, really, the other cases, the case of the two women, etc. That's eventually what the Gemara is going to answer. Yeah, but wait. The answer is okay. Litai Meich Nu. The Gemara says, well, according to you yourself, think according to your own Svara. Ema Sefer. Look at the next part of the Brayta. Asur Milechol. Nevertheless, the contents of the barrel are also to eat. Again, for those who eat Cholin Batara, or if the contents of the barrel were Truma or whatever. So you see that yes, there is reason to say that even though we don't go so far as to say that the contents of the barrel are going to be contaminated something else, but it itself is possible to eat. So yes, by the same logic, then yes, you could well say, for example, with the two sets of clothes, that yes, it's considered tummy. Now then the question becomes, am I? So what's the reason behind all this? Amr Abimia, but Omer, because we're talking about a case where the person is saying like this, Shmartiha Midava Hamatama, I was only careful to guard this thing against something that will actually make it tummy in the sense that it can make something else tummy. V'loi Midava Aposla, but not from something that would make it just possible. So, in other words, what Rabbi Yirmiyah is saying,
that also means it doesn't contaminate others.
Yeah, so Rabbi Yirmiyah is right now just answering the case about the wine and the oil. Why are we saying that it's possible to eat, that you're not allowed to eat it, but it's not matam, it's something else? Because there is such a thing as a halfway shmira. You can be saying that I was guarding this thing against a more severe tumor, but not against a less severe kind of tumor.
And vice versa.
No, if you're guarding against the more severe kind, then obviously you're guarding it against the lesser kind also. But you can have the other way. You can say, let's say for example, this barrel contained truma, where we're saying you go as far as shlishi. Shlishi by Truma is called Puffel. Because Shlishi by Truma, you're not allowed to eat, but it can't make any other Truma Puffel. Because by Truma, you only go to Shlishi. So therefore, you can have, this person can be saying, I was careful to not let anything that's Shani touch the, sorry, anything that's Rishon touch this barrel, because then it would become a Shani, and then it could make other Truma still Tomei. So I was careful about that. But I wasn't careful to make sure that no Shani touches it.
Shani, you're right.
Which would make it a Shlishi. So that explains the case about the wine and the oil. Which after we discuss that a little bit, we'll get back to the cases over there with the clothes. What the issue is over there. But first, the Gemara asks, so mi ikin the terusa lapalga? Is there such a thing? You can say that you've washed something only for certain purposes, only halfway. You've only guarded it against a rishon but not a sheni, for example. The answer is same. Indeed. V'hatanya, and thus we learn in the Braisa, hoshit yodei basal, if a person sticks his hand into a basket, basal oksefer, the basket is on his shoulder, actually, okay, if the basket is on his shoulder, he doesn't really need to be sticking his hand into it, some afar from on gurs, the words hoshit yodei basal, anyway. V'hamagrecha basal chasal, and then in this basket, the basket had figs in it. Along with the figs, inside the basket, there was a magrefa, which is a pitchfork, a little pitchfork. Rashi describes that you use it more like a poker, kind of. You use it for, Rashi says, two purposes. You can use it to poke, you can use it to sweep out the ashes from a fireplace or from a stove or whatever. Also, when you have figs that are stuck to each other, you can use it to separate them. So you have, inside this basket, there are figs and there's this poker. Now he had in mind to guard the basket and the contents of it. But he did not have in mind to guard the poker against Tumah. Then we say that the contents of the basket remain tahor, the figs remain tahor, but the utensil, the poker, becomes tameh. Now we have to understand first, hasal tahor. Why are we saying that the contents of the basket are tahor? To tameh hamagreifa lasal. Why don't we say that the magrefa, if we consider it tame, should be matame, the basket, and then the contents of the basket will become tame also. The answer is ein kli matame kli. One keli cannot be matame another. We the basic difference between an ava truma and a vlada truma, and here we're dealing with vlada satruma, is a vlada truma only involves foods and drinks. So you can have, actually, a keli can become tamei midrabanan as a vlada truma. We learned way, way, way back in Brachos about the case over there when you have liquids which are sheni touch a keli, they make it a rishon. But that rishon, because it's a rishon, it's a vlada truma, can't be mitame other kelim.
It's not really a rishon. I mean, a rishon should be able to.
No, only an av can be mitame other kelim. An av or an aviyavoyis truma can be mitame kelim. A rishon can only be metame food and drink.
What? That's what I was saying.
Yeah. So therefore, so no, the poker is not going to be metame the basket. Okay. Still, the question is, v'litame masha basal. Why isn't it metame the contents of the basket? Amar Avina, that's it. That's exactly it. The person is saying, I was guarding the poker against something that will make it tame, in the sense of being able to be metame something else, but not something that would make it puzzle. So I wasn't careful to make sure that no sheni, for example, touches this poker. A sheni touches it, let's say, it'll become a shlishi. But so fine, the poker itself will be tame, but it won't be able to be metame. It won't be able to be metame the figs. And he was careful about the figs themselves. So therefore, we see from that that yes, to answer our question, there is such a thing as guarding something only by halves. You're guarding it against one kind of tumah and not a different kind. Rashi mentions another explanation over here about midavar amatama v'loy midavar aposla. Suppose you have that there could be figs stuck to this poker. You have a basket full of figs with a poker inside it. Some figs might be stuck to the poker. If something tame touches the poker, then yes, figs that are stuck to it are going to become possible to eat because they're attached to it. But Nevertheless, though, we could be saying he's careful about something that's metame, so it won't be metame all the figs in the basket, but it might indeed pass for whatever figs happen to be stuck to it.
Even if he didn't have it in mind?
No, he was saying that he had in mind one kind of tumah and not another. That's what we're saying. He had in mind to not allow a rich in the tumah to touch this pokru, because then it'll become a sheni and everything will go from there. But not really, because a rishon l'truma can't make a keli tumah anyway. No, he's being careful to not allow an avat trumah to touch the pokru, because an avat trumah then will make it able to be metame the figs. But when the pokru becomes tumah, according to the second explanation in Rashi, any of the figs that are stuck to the pokru will become tumah. But they won't be metame the rest of them.
Are they tame until they're detached from the poker, or they stay tame?
No, they stay tame. Yeah. No, there's no way for food to become tar. Okay, so that explains that then. So yes, there is such a thing as nitirus lapalga. There is such a thing as guarding something by halves, where you're guarding it against one kind of tumor and not another. So yes, that explains the last braisa about the wine and the oil. You were guarding it thinking it was wine, turns out to be oil. What does it mean? You were guarding against a more severe kind of tumor, but not against a lighter kind of tumor. Therefore, it's possible to eat, but it's not tummy in the sense you can't make something else tummy. Mekom akum kasha, but nevertheless, we're still back to the question about the various cases of the clothes. And besides that, also, Moisiv Rava Bar Avor. Rava Bar Avor asked a question on this whole business as far as the various clothes. Maisiv Isha Achat Shabbos Lifnei Rabbi Shmuel. It happened once a certain woman came before Rabbi Shmuel, Va'omraloi, and she said to him, Rebbe, Beged Ze Aragti B'Tahara. I wove this piece of clothing B'Tahara, which Rashi says what that means is when a piece of cloth is less than 3x3 Tfachim, it can't be Mekabel Tumah. Not 3x3 is the minimum size for it to become tummy. So she said, after I'd gotten to the 3x3 stage, I made sure that nothing tummy touched it. However, she says, but I did not specifically have in mind to guard it b'tara. I know for a fact I was taher throughout the whole process from when it became 3x3 onward, but I didn't make sure, I wasn't actually specifically having in mind to make sure it stays taher.
Is it hard or is it
funny? That's the question. So Rabbi Shmuel started interrogating her and asking all kinds of questions. Is it possible that this happened? Is it possible that that happened? Etc. In the course of that, she says to him, Rabbi, Nida Moshcha Imi Bechevel. A woman who was a Nida pulled the rope along with me. The rope is attached to the loom. So therefore, if she pulled the rope, she may have moved the loom and the cloth along with it. Now, a nida and a zava, all that group, including a nida, can be metame something by heset, by moving it.
Okay.
We've had this before, yeah. So therefore, in that case, in that case, it becomes tummy. Amar Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shmuel says, "Kama gedolim divrei chachamim? How great are the words of the chachamim? Show your omer belibrei l'shomrei tahor, that they said that only if you had in your heart to actually guard it is a tahor, and belibrei l'shomrei tamei. And if you did not have that specifically in mind, then we assume it's tamei. Because here she would have thought I was tahor. What could be the problem? It didn't even occur to her the problem that when this woman grabbed a hold of the rope attached to the loom, that there might have been a problem of heset.
Because she didn't think about it.
Yeah." But had she been shomeret, then she would have then she would have been careful about that. Yeah. Yeah.
How do we say that fits with unbelievable l'shomer?
So that's the thing, because she didn't have in mind to guard it. Therefore, it turns out that there was in fact a scenario, it seemed at the beginning a very far fetched scenario, but nevertheless that where the thing ended up being tummy.
If she had it in mind to guard it, then it would not have been
right.
Even if she pulled the
Now, the reason why we're bringing this in over here is because, again, going back to the various cases of the clothes, what problem of a lack of shmira is there by each of those cases? When your scarf falls off and you ask somebody to pick it up, on the face of it, there's still shmira the whole time, especially if the other guy's a chaver. When the two women mix up their clothes over there, when you mixed up your Shabbos and weekday clothes, if the whole issue is you have to be shomer it, so fine, we established there was a thing as shmira l'chasoy, and that was kind of a side issue. The main point we're getting at is, if the important point is you have to have Shemira, then what is the problem in those three cases?
The presence of the person in front of the thing makes it,
Now it's Shmira. Yeah. Again, it happened that a woman came to Rabbi Shmuel. Amr Loi, Rabbi, Mapazu Aragtiha Batara. This cloth, again, I wove it Batara. But again, she says, I didn't specifically have in mind to guard it to make sure it stays to her. And again, Rabbi Shmuel started asking her, as he was interrogating her. Amr Loi, she says, Rabbi, Nima Nipsikali, early on, before I started the weaving, Bechlau, one of the threads tore, and I tied it back together using my mouth. She put the two ends together in her mouth to wet them or whatever, so that she could tie them together more effectively. And what's the problem with that? The problem is like this. Rashi brings first his own explanation and then an explanation from his Rebbeim. Rashi's own explanation is, when she started weaving this garment, she was a nidda. But fine, you would think, until it's 3x3 etzvos, there shouldn't be an issue. She's, can't be mekabel terumah anyway. After, she would have made sure, after she reached the 3x3 point, that from then on, she would make sure that she's toveled. The problem is, what happens if when she got to the point of getting to the 3x3, when it reached 3 etzvos wide, what happens if the saliva that she put on the thread before is still wet? Then it's metabo the cloth. Because the saliva of a nidya is an avatoma.
So that's wet. It doesn't dry in just a few seconds.
Well, it depends how much saliva there was, and it depends how much time there was from when she wetted it until. But still, there is the possibility that happened. Rashi then quotes from his teacher. It's a different thing. There is the Chachamim made a general gzero, which we're going to be talking about in the next parak. Just like we said in the Mishnah, that the clothes of an amaoret are considered midras to be on the safe side because a woman who's a nida may have sat on them. So also we say that the saliva of an amaoret is metame misafik because they may be a zav without realizing it. Or in general, we make amaoret, we consider amaoret to be zavim midrabanim.
Because they don't pay attention.
And they don't pay attention to some of the Tosfos points out, actually, one of the long Tosfos on your test on the base over here points out that that's not a blanket thing. We don't say, for example, we don't apply the rule of Heset to an Amaoret. We don't say that if an Amaoret moves a barrel, he'll make it Tomei, and Tosfos says that's a practical thing, because otherwise, how are the Chavar going to find anybody to transport barrels for him if, he's going to have to make sure they're Tomei first? It's a hassle. But in general, we say that the saliva of an Amaoret is a Tomei. We had this way back in Shkolim, actually, that for that reason we said that the Mishnah had said over there, and we had in the Mishnah and in the Gemara over there in the Yerushalmi, that in general, saliva that you find anywhere in Yerushalayim, well, according to one opinion anyway, it's Tomei because it might have come from a Zav, except we said during the Shalosh Regalim, because then the Zavim stay in their own corner of the city in order not to be Matamei, everybody. Or in their own corner of the city, or on the sides of the roads, whatever.
What you say, road people are not
the... Road people are not Zavim. Road people are Amearet. And Amearet, we're saying, are Zavim, to be honest. Also Goyim are Zavim Midrabanan. Yeah.
Goyim is Zavim Midrabanan?
Yeah.
Well, it's the kind of, they did the... set up, not to hurt the feelings of Ami Harvest, like playing Shofar and Sharpus and Lulim and all these things. Yeah, they changed the whole, they made all sorts of takanas not to hurt their feelings, just to make sure everything would be okay. All of a sudden we're seeing that now we want to put these people in the category because
we want to be careful on Tumah V'Tahara. So during Yom Tov, actually, we're going to learn towards the end of the Masechta that during the Shalosh Regalim, the Chachamim did declare some leniencies in these halachas, Kol Yisrael Chaverim, that during the Yom Tov, we assume that all Jews are considered Chaverim, careful in Tumah V'Tahara. There are some dinim that are relevant to that.
Every time you shake a goy's hand, you consider it a zav?
You've touched a zav.
You've touched a zav?
Yeah.
So what are you considering?
Nowadays we're all Tomei anyway, so it's a moot point. But now what would you be? You'd be a Rishon LaTumah. But you'd have to go to the mikveh. You need to tovel. I'm not sure if you need a head of shemesh. Tosfos also discusses the whole question of whether the case is where you're talking about on and whether you need a head of shemesh. That's another issue. Tosfos discussed on New Testament Aleph. But not sure, actually. But for example, you remember in Yuma, we had the story over there about Kinchis with her seven sons being kohenim gedolim. What happened? One of them had to go on Erev Yom Kippur to talk with a goyish king out in the street. The king, as he's that had saliva jumped out of his mouth and fell on Yishmael's clothes, and he was disqualified as Kohen Gadol for that. Yom Kippur, and his brother had to take over. So these are real issues. But this is why the term the Mishnah used for people who are careful about this stuff is Purushim, or in English they call them Pharisees. Pharisees is the Greek form of the word Parush, because they had to actually be Parush from the Amei Aretz, separated physically from the Amei Aretz in order not to have issues with Truma V'Tahara. It does, and that's why usually we use the word Chaverim instead to suggest that all of the people who are careful on this stuff are able to be Chaverim to each other. Yeah, usually. Well, it suggests a certain standoffishness. So, yeah, most of the time when the Mishnah uses the word Purushim, it's usually the Tzedukim calling the Chachamim Nat as a derogatory term. But I mean, it has a positive sense also. But yeah. Anyway. So anyway, Rashi says the other possibility is with this woman and her weaving when she wet the ends of the thread is if she's an Amah Aretz, then her saliva, her tummy. Well, no. Once the thing is sewn to 3x3, Rashi says I don't like that though. I mean, obviously this woman is a chaver. Otherwise, why is she coming to ask a shayla on Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara? Necessarily, she must have been a chaver. If she's a chaver, a chavera, then there's no issue of her saliva anyway. Her saliva is not tumah. It would have to be that she was a nidda. Because becoming a chaver is not that simple a process. For one thing, you have to accept. The Mishnah in Jemai discusses it that you have to accept on yourself divrei chaverus in front of a beis din, and you have to be noyig on them for 30 days. And after that, then you're considered a chaver. Also the Gemara in Mechoras that talks about it. Yeah. Tosfos quotes yet another possibility that maybe the issue could be that in general even if we don't say that she's considered a zava, even if we don't say that she's considered an amah aret, nevertheless we learned a few times in brachas and in Shabbos and some other places that midrabanan liquids of any kind make kalim tomei. So therefore, if this saliva was still wet and she touched it, then her hands become shniyos, and then she'd be matam with the cloth as she's weaving it. So that would be the issue. And again, Amar Rabbi Shmuel, Kamagdolim Divrei Chachamim. Look how great are the words of the Chachamim. Show you Omer Belibur L'Shomer Tahor. They said that only if you specifically have in mind to guard it as a tahor, Ein Belibur L'Shomer Tahor. And if you didn't have in mind, then it's tamei. But either way, from both of these stories, we see that all you need is shmirah. So now we go back to the question, Vishleim l'Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadik. So we can understand then, even if we say you have to have Shemira, we can still understand the case of Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadik with the two women who mixed up their clothes. Because kol achas v'achas emeres chaverti eshes amaretz, because each one, she doesn't know which one ended up with her clothes. She thinks the one that ended up with the clothes, my friend who ended up with the clothes, is a wife of an amaretz. So she's masiyach das from the clothes. She figures they became tamei anyway. So even though it turns out that the friend was a chaver and therefore the clothes were being kept for Tara all along, but the owner of the clothes did not have in mind to be shomer them. And conversely, the woman who ended up wearing them, even though she's a chaver, they're not her clothes. So unless she's specifically asked to wash them against Tuma, she's not going to, at least not at the same level. And therefore we would say they're tamei. So fine, we could understand that case.
What happened in the case? They got the clothes back eventually?
I guess.
But what happened? They switched clothes.
Yeah, they switched clothes. And then now, when they finally get them back, then yeah. Lurab Yonasan ben Amram Nami. In Rab Yonasan ben Amram's case, also we can understand that his case was the case about where you mixed up your weekday and your Shabbos clothes. Kiven to Kalim to Shabbos over the Rishimu Tvei, because since you normally wash your Shabbos clothes more carefully, you normally wash them more carefully. So again, when it turns, he thought, he didn't realize that these were Shabbos clothes. He thought that they were weekday clothes. Therefore, he guards them with a lesser level of Shemira. So fine, you can consider it as if he wasn't really Shomer them.
Shemira, he doesn't let people touch.
He doesn't let anything that's Tomei touch them. But nevertheless, he's more careful. A person is usually more careful about his Shabbos clothes than about his weekday clothes. So therefore, fine, you can consider that like he's not being shown to them, really. And therefore, you could say it's Tomei. El or Rabbi Yonasan ben Elazar, but in Rabbi Yonasan ben Elazar's case, the case where the person dropped his scarf and asked somebody else, who presumably is a chaver also, to pick it up, Why is it Tomei? Navid lo Roshimu b'yadei dechavrei. Why don't we consider that he's guarding it while his friend is holding it? He dropped it. His friend picks it up. As his friend is holding it, he has in mind that it's Tahar. He gives it back to him, which it still stays Tahar. No, but it doesn't have to be in your hands. The barrel doesn't have to be in your hands before either. You have your eyes on it. You dropped your scarf. We're not talking about you dropped your scarf and you didn't realize what, and you realized 5 minutes later. You saw your scarf fall, and you asked the guy to pick it up.
It seems
you had Shmiro the whole time.
If you already were that careful to have him in mind, you might as well pick it up yourself.
Okay, let's say you can't. You're in the middle of Shemini Esrei or something. I don't know. And you can't. You know, whatever. You could think of cases. You know, you have a bad back and you can't bend. I don't know. No, indeed, we have a chazaka that a person does not really guard to the same extent as something that's in somebody else's hand. So yes, when Reuven's scarf falls off and he asks Shimon to pick it up, no, he's not guarding it as much as he would as if he himself was wearing it. So therefore, there's a certain degree of pesach hadas there.
Even if it was his father's clothes?
No, that's it. Reuven himself, the owner of the scarf. When he dropped it and he asked Shimon to pick it up, when it's in Shimon's hand, he's not guarding it as much as it would be if it was in his own hand.
Right. I understand that. So, but we said previously that, let's say, for Shabbos clothes, you were more careful.
Right.
So if his friend had picked up Reuven's Shabbos clothes, would we consider that then he would have had that clothes in mind and it would not have become tummy?
No, because again, then it would be even worse. Then you have two problems. Then you have, number one, you don't wash weekday clothes as carefully as Shabbos clothes anyway.
Right.
And number two, it's in somebody else's hands.
The other person's a chaver?
Yeah, the other person's a chaver, but still. Yeah. The Rambam explains this chazakein and a mashama mashab yad chaver slightly differently, that the person who's holding it, that Shimon, doesn't wash it as carefully as Reuven unless he specifically asked to. You're telling me that not? There's a difference between the owner himself and somebody else holding it? But we learn in a braisa. Suppose a person has his donkey drivers or his workers are carrying things of taras. For example, Rashi says they're carrying barrels, they're carrying earthenware barrels, the clay barrels of wine. So therefore, again, there's no problem of them touching the contents because there's no problem of them being metameh it, really, because with their touching it, because they're only touching it from the outside. A kli cheres is only metameh from the inside. They're not touching the wine inside. We said before, Tosfos said that even though the ameh aretz, these chamorim apolim are ameh aretz, we don't make them zavim to the extent that they'll be metameh things behesed, because otherwise you're never going to find workers. So the only problem, we still say they're zavim, but we don't say to the point where that if they move a barrel, that they're going to be metame the way a real zav would.
But if they sit on the barrel, then...
No, because the barrel is not made for sitting on. I'm already asking Malachino, we learned in Shabbos. If somebody sits on something, if a zav sits on something that's not meant for sitting on, the whole Perek Shlosha Trisenhain that you learn as an Avol is all based, a large part of it is based on this idea. If you have something which is not made for sitting or leaning or what have you on, and a zav does that, effectively you tell him, I'm already asking Malachino, get up, we need to use this for our work, and it's not Matamir. So no, the barrel's not meant for sitting on. No, the only problem would be Hesed, and that's what I'm saying. Tosfos makes the point that even though we do consider Amei Aretz Zavim, L'chumra, we don't go so far as to say that they're Metamei B'Hesed. The only problem would be what happens if they open up a barrel and actually touch the wine inside or stick their hand into the opening of it. So therefore, what the Mishnah said, the Braisa said, even though he's far away from them more than a mil, so he's coming behind them. He sent them ahead with the barrel. He's following them. Nevertheless, Taharos of Taharos. Nevertheless, the Taharos still remain Tahar because since he didn't tell them that he's going to be far away, they're afraid. It's called Mirsas. They're afraid that any moment he may show up and catch them opening it and sticking their hands in where they're not supposed to. Which we're going to continue with the braisa, but so far the point is that even though the barrels are in somebody else's hands, they still remain tahar. Doesn't that contradict what we just said, that the scarf is in somebody else's hands? And
he's a mile away.
Yeah.
Well, they work for him.
But so what?
Yeah, but that's neither here nor there. When you ask somebody to pick up your scarf, effectively he's working for you at that moment also, but still.
Wait.
Nice barrel. V'im, but if he tells them, l'chu, you guys go on ahead, v'ani ova yacharechem, and I will follow you.
Yeah.
Then Kivin Shinis Almu Einar Mehem. Then as soon as they're out of sight, Tarvis of Timaeus. Then the Tarvis become Tomei, because then they're not afraid. They know, hey, he's far behind. We have a chance to open it up, and then nobody will know the difference. Which the,
that's more than a mile, or even less than a mile.
Kivin Shinis Almu Mehem Einar Mehem. Once they're out of sight. Yeah, because he specifically told them. I'm going to be following you later. There's a similar kind of thing, by the way. The Gemara brings this braisa also in connection with Yain Nesef, because much of the same din applies. You have goyisha workers carrying barrels of wine for you. You have the same kind of issue. This is a general issue in kashrus called mirsas. When you have restaurants and whatnot or food processing plants. You know, they don't have a mashgiach tmidi there. They don't have a mashgiach on site there all the time. It's yoytzev nichnas. He comes in and out. In many cases, that's allowed because of the concept of mirsas, that they're afraid any moment the guy is going to show up and catch us red-handed. That's the thing. If he tells them, I'm going to be back at 2 o'clock. No good. But if he tells, if any second he could walk in, yeah.
Watch yourself. I can be here at any time, and I want to answer.
Mm-hmm.
Yourself.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's true or not. I can just want to say that.
Yeah. Well, then, yeah. Anyway. So Gemara asks, Maishna Reisha or Maishna Seifa? What's the difference between the beginning and the end of the Mishnah? Now Rashi says, what do you need that for? Of course there's a big difference. One you told them where that you're coming, and one you didn't. Rashi says the point that maybe you shouldn't be Gerdes it. If you Gerdes it, which is what we have, then the point of the question is that if the issue is that when it's in somebody else's hands, it's Tomei anyway, then what's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa? Either way, you're not handling the barrels, they are. The answer is Amar Bitzchak Nafka, Reisha b'metar chamor v'poil v'lekach. The Reisha is talking about where he specifically made these donkey drivers and these poilim, these workers, tahor for this purpose. He actually brought them to the mikveh and then made them tovel and made them and washed over them all this time to prevent them from becoming tamei. It's true, Rabbi Yitzchak is saying. Usually, if Reuven is holding Shimon's object, we don't say that it will remain tahor because Shimon has a little bit of hesach hadas from it. But here, he specifically made them tahor for this purpose. So therefore, okay. So maybe they'll touch it during the time that he's a mule behind them. So what? They're already tahor. There's nothing to worry about. No, not a chazaka. They're tahor. There's nothing to be afraid that they're going to be tamei because they're tahor. The question is, Yehachi Seifa Nami? Well, then in that case, say the same thing in the Seifa. If he was Matahar them to begin with, then the same thing applies. We should say that even if he told them, I'm coming later, what should be the problem? They're Tahar.
And they know that he was Matahar him, so therefore they're careful, right?
You would think, yeah.
But if they're not careful, the answer is,
Ein Amaret Chaveroi. True, the Amaret may himself know not to touch it inappropriately, but he may not be careful that his friend won't touch it because he figures, my friend, big deal, he's not really Tomei, our employer is just being a machmir.
Yeah,
he might open up the barrel to sniff him or whatever, and touch him. Okay, well then you're back to the question, Yehoch Yudesha Nami, well then the same thing should apply in the first part of the Braisa.
So that assumes that the Chaver went to the mikveh also with him? Or
No. We're talking about a Chaver who didn't. Yankel Bamaret, who's carrying the barrel, is going to meet up with Shmerel, his friend, who is not part of this group, who did not tovel. And, hey, Shmerel, I'm carrying some wine over here. You want to have a sniff?
If
he just sticks his hand into the airspace of it is enough to be metame. Play cheder from the airspace. The answer is reisha not be follow ham derech hakolosin. You're right. The reisha has to be talking about though where he's able to come on a side road. He may be far behind them, but he's able to come on a shortcut on a side road and all of a sudden appear there. Now, Tosfos explains that actually according to the Girsa we have over here, it means you need both. He has to have been Metaher them, and it has to be that he could show up at any moment. So then in the Reisha, it's both. Whereas in the Sefer, you have the one good thing that they're Tahar, true, but because he won't necessarily show up at any moment, because he told them specifically, I'm coming later, that's why you have the problem. The Rambam seems to have a different Girsa, because the Rambam says that as long as Bolahem Derech HaKolosan, as long as he could show up all of a sudden, it doesn't even matter whether you were Metaher them or not. The very fact that you could appear unannounced is enough to keep them on their toes.
He doesn't know that his friend You have to be careful. What difference is this?
Because the boss can show up at any moment, and then you're going to be in trouble. What are you doing, Faye? What are you doing uncovering that barrel?
He's afraid.
Yeah. Again, it's the same principle as we use by Ashkachas. The goyim are working in the restaurant or the plant or whatever. At any moment, the mashgiach can show up and catch them in the act.
Can't you say any moment for this barbers, maybe yes, but for that barbers, I know him, he doesn't come any every.
So maybe it depends if they know his habits. I mean, if they know that he's habitually late, then it would be the equivalent of telling them. I don't know. Okay. Okay, then the question is, Yehoch is safer now. Well, so if you're saying that he can come unannounced, then the same thing should be in the safe. The answer is no. Kivin to Amalu l'chuvan yovei acharechem. Since he tells them, you guys go ahead, I will come after you, mismach samcha datayu. They have a certain smichas nas. They have a certain confidence that, okay, the boss is not going to show up right now. Therefore, they feel more free to let their friends touch or whatever, yeah. But even though they themselves are tahor, according to the girsa that we have over here, nevertheless, they're not so afraid to let their friends get involved.
What are they gaining by letting the friends do that?
Nothing. Enjoy yourself. You know, here's a nice vintage of wine. Get a good sniff of it, you know. So anyway, the bottom line is that, yes, normally we say that if one person is holding somebody else's taharet, they will become tameh because of hesach hadas. Only if you metaher them and you can also show up unexpected at any moment, then yeah. So in the case with the scarf, yes, the other guy is a chaver, but you weren't metaher him for that purpose. So there is a certain degree of hesach hadas.
But he's a chaver.
He is, but nevertheless, you didn't specifically have in mind that he's tahor for this purpose, as opposed to here, you went to the trouble of making sure that all these guys are tahor and tahor.
But he's
tahor
and may love, and does it make any difference to you?
No, because still he himself is not necessarily guarding it against tumah. It's not that with the thing with the workers, the problem is they themselves may touch it and make it tumah, and therefore we say they're tahor. It's not an issue with the scarf. The issue is not that the other guy touching it is going to make it tumah. The issue is he's not guarding it against tumah. As he's holding it, a sheni v'tumah may accidentally brush against it, and he won't pay attention. Continuing the new perek, is also continuing on the dinim of Tuma V'Tahara, the Milas D'Rabbanan. Mishnah starts off, Chomer B'Kodesh M'B'Truma. There are certain severities in Kodesh over Truma. And the Mishnah altogether is going to list 11 different dinim, or actually there's going to be a machlokus in the Gemara, whether it's really 10 or 11.
Kodesh means Korbanos.
Kodesh means Korbanos, right. But it means not just Korbanos, but it means anything that is Tahar, and it means, for example, the kalim that you're going to be using for kodesh have to be kept to a higher standard of tara. That's what we were just saying. Than the ones for truma. There's, by the way, a drush on this from the Baal Shem Tov along the lines of chomer b'kodesh. How do you make the chumrius kodesh b'truma? Where you start, you have to start by lifting yourself up. That's a vort from the Baal Shem Tov. Yeah. I think he relates it specifically to like when a tzaddik is trying to elevate people, is trying to make people holy. He has to start by elevating them. Ruchnius. Let me say the next line in the Mishnah, and also he relates something to that. Shemat bilim number one. Shemat bilim kalim b'sech kalim l'truma. You are allowed to tovel one keli inside another for truma. So if you have, for example, a big bottle. And inside it, you put a smaller keli. You need to tovel both of those. You're allowed to think of like when you go nowadays to a keli mikveh. You take your dishes. You put them inside a basket, and you dip the basket with the keli into the mikveh. That's fine for truma. Avaloi l'kodesh, but you're not allowed to do it for kodesh. And we'll talk about it in the Gemara why. This shemat bilim keli. The Baal Shem Tov continues along the lines of that it beruchnius. It represents the idea that the There's a theme in a number of places in the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov and the Maggid, the idea about elevating machshavas zaris. Where if a person is having machshavas zaris, you should think of what the ruchniistic source of that kind of thought is, and then sublimate it using that. A person having, for example, machshavas zaris, who's nus, let's say, for example, he should think into, you know, where does that come from? It comes from, you know, there's a zivug v'mayla of zachar and nekeva, yichud kutshu b'chur shkente. Elevate that thought by focusing on that instead.
So
which the Altareb actually says in Tanya that only applies to tzaddikim, really, who don't have machshavas zaris of their own. Their machshavas zaris come from their mukusharim. A regular person who has machshavas zaris don't deal with that. You're down here. You're not going to be able to elevate it. Instead ignore the machshavas zaris. But anyway, the Baal Shem Tov explains that according to that, makbilim kalim besesh kalim represents this idea. You take the keli of a tumah dikah keli and you sublimate it in the tahor dikah keli in a higher keli. Surround it completely with another Kaylee and then turtle the whole thing. Another din, Acharayim v'toichu v'et ha-tzvita v'truma, avaloi v'kodesh. When it comes to truma,
so it works for truma,
but not for kodesh. For kodesh, you have to turtle each Kaylee separately.
No,
we'll talk about it in the Gemara. Why? Wait. Number two, din number two, Acharayim v'toichu v'et ha-tzvita v'truma. When it comes to truma, you have... You can divide a keli into three parts. You have some kelim where you're able to use the reverse side of the keli as a keli of its own. Take, for example, these cups. They have a little bit of a hollow on the bottom of them. You could technically turn over the cup and put like a little sauce or whatever inside there. So then in that case, so for such kelim, you consider separately the inside, the outside, acharayim, the toich, the inside, and beis hatzvita. Beis hatzvita we'll learn in a few days in the Gemara, we'll discuss the possibilities of what that is exactly, but basically it's a part you hold on to when you're holding it, or it's a part for a little bit of sauce or whatever. For truma, for example, if a truma dirabanan touches the outside of the cup, you consider only the outside as tamei, not the inside. Avaloi v'kodesh, but not for kodesh. For kodesh, if any one of those parts of the keli become tamei, the whole thing is tamei. Midrabanan, of course. Midrabanan, there's no such thing as part of a keli being tamei, yeah. Number three, hanoseis hamidras noseis hatrumah. If somebody is carrying midras, Rashi gives us an example. Suppose somebody is carrying a zav's shoe. So the shoe is tamei. If he's carrying that, he's also allowed at the same time to carry trumah, which Rashi says, just like we had before about the workers, he'd have to be carrying it in a closed barrel. Again, so you don't have an issue. You don't want the shoe tacked. You don't want the shoe tacked if he touch the inside or even be suspended on the inside of the barrel. That would make a tamei. But you're allowed to do that. Avaloi, it's a kodesh, but you don't want to carry kodesh along with a zav's shoe.
The meat from a korban
analysis? No, or kodesh itself, or kelim that are supposed to be tahor for kodesh. Yeah. Another one, bigdei oichlei truma midras lekodesh. This is we had in the previous perek, that the clothes people who eat truma are midras as far as kodesh. If you want to be able to eat kodesh and you touch those clothes, you have to tovel again, and you have to tovel the clothes. Yeah, Kohanim and their servants. Yeah.
The Holy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas Kodesh could be Kohanim or it could be Israelim. Yeah. Another one, Loi Kemidas HaKodesh Midas HaTrumah. The rules for Kodesh are not like the rules for Trumah. Shema Kodesh Matir or Menagir or Matbil. With Kodesh, if you have to tovel a piece of clothing which is Tomei, and there's a knot in it, you have to untie it, matir, with kodesh, you have to untie it, or menagev, and then you have to dry it, or matbil, and only then can you tovel it, v'achakach kosher, and then if you want, you can tie it back, or with truma, whereas with truma, you don't need to do that, kosher v'achakach matbil, you can retie it first, and then you can tovel it. Now, what are we talking about? Why do you have to untie it? Why do you have to dry it out, etc.? There's a lot of different explanations in Mefarsh about different possibilities. What Rashi says that the fact that it's knotted is sort of like a chatzitza. And if it's wet on top of that, then that wetness is for purposes of kodesh, we consider it to be a certain degree of a chatzitza as well. So therefore, you first have to let it dry, air dry or whatever, and only then can you tovel it, because otherwise, effectively, the water that's in it is sort of making a chatzitza. There's other explanations also. Tosfos discusses the issue that maybe the water that's trapped inside that knot will remain tame, and then it'll be metame the thing again. Again, this will be a din d'rabbanan that water might still remain tame and will be re-metame within the knot. And then there's other explanations. The Torah Evan talks about the possibility that what we mean is the knot. If you ever notice, a knot in wet clothes or in a wet rope or whatever is much harder to untie than in a dry rope. So that's what we mean over here, that because it's wet, therefore you have to untie it, because otherwise the water is not going to fully get into it. And then as far as the menagiv, there's some mafarshim talk about the possibility maybe it doesn't necessarily mean to dry it. Maybe it means to scrub it with detergent or whatever to get it fully clean. Anyway, so by Kodesh, you need to go through all that. Whereas by Truma, you don't have to worry about it. It's tied. It's not that big a deal. You meant it's not so tightly tied anyway, so therefore you can leave it tied, and then you can total it. Another din, Kelim anigmorim b'tahara, Kelim that are finished being made b'tahara, tzrichin tevila l'kodesh, avaloi l'truma. You still have to total them before you use them for Kodesh. You do not have to for Truma. So you have, Tosus explains, the vote is like this. When the keli is being made, it's not makabel Truma anyway. So then you can be working on it for Truma and it's not an issue. When it's finished, when you have Gemar Malacha, we learned this in Beitza, for example, at that point it's able to be makabel Truma. At that point you have to be making sure that you're doing it Matara. Nevertheless, the Chachamim made a din that when it comes to Kodesh, you still have to Tovel it anyway. And again, why? We'll talk about it in a few days in the Gemara. Even though it was finished Matara, yeah. Avaloi l'truma, but you don't need to do that for truma. Another din, hakli mitzanach mashu b'soichel l'kodesh, a container combines together everything that's inside it, l'kodesh avaloi l'truma, only as far as kodesh, but not for truma, which means, suppose you have one cup or one spoon or whatever, where you have a bunch of individual pieces of food inside it. For truma, we would say each one is considered a separate thing. If something tamei touches one of them, that piece becomes a rishon l'truma. If it touches another piece, that one becomes a sheni,
right.
and shlishi, and so forth. Only the nearest three pieces become tamei.
Right.
With kodesh, we say everything that's in the container is considered like one unit, and therefore all of it will become tamei, even if they're not touching. This particular one, and also the next one, there is a machlokas rishonim, whether it's midrash or midrabanan. The Gemara is going to quote, we're going to have in a few days, the Gemara is going to quote a pasuk that expresses this idea that everything that's in a container is considered like one thing. The question is that a real limud or is it only an asmachta?
What do we say? Avatoma is matame adam and
isn't matame adam and kalim. Yeah.
Mashkin and
Oichlim
is only...
No, it's for sure Matama, Oichlim and Mashkin. Oichlim and Mashkin can be Matama also from a Vlada Tuma. But what we're saying is that the Sheretz, for example, touched one piece of cake in the pan.
Yep.
All the everything that's in the pan becomes Tuma.
Everything
becomes a Rishon L'Truma, as opposed to if the cake was Truma, then the first piece would be a Rishon L'Truma, the second one would be a Sheni, the third one would be a Shlishi, and that's it. The rest of the pieces would be Tahar. It's interesting. In Rishimus, there's a note that the Rebbe wrote of one of the earliest public sichas he ever said was a sicha during Simchas Beis Sheva to the Talmidim of Chemchat Mimim in Tafresh Tzadik Gimel, 1932. This is, I think, it may actually be the first public sicha the Rebbe ever said. I'm not sure. He touched on many different things in Shas, but one of them was this thing over here about Akli Masarif Mashav Asicha Lakodesh Avaloi Latruma. It was a long and involved sicha, but the gist of it is that there's a certain level we know from Tanya, for example, Paraklamid Beis. There's a certain level on which all Jewish neshamas are all considered one. So when it comes to truma, a lower level, then fine, not necessarily. Everybody, even though everybody's in the same keli, still everybody's disjoint. Everybody's their own person. But when it comes to kodesh, which is a higher level, specifically kodesh refers to chachma.
Yeah.
Then refers to Chachma, at that level, all neshamas are one, and therefore one person has an effect on the other one. Merubah Midatoba. Yeah. Merubah, yeah, that if this applies to Truma, how much more so to Kedusha, yeah. And then I've also went on to explain the pasuk that the Gemara is going to quote in this connection, Kaf Achas Asara Zahav, so it's related to the letter Kaf, that basically, like, you're taking the Reish of the Rasha, or the Reish of Ra, and turning it into a Kaf, which represents the idea of Truva. It was a whole long involved Zicha, but yeah. Another din, another one of the differences between Kodesh and Truma. Harevi ba Kodesh posel vashlishi b'truma. When it comes to Kodesh, a fourth level Truma is tameh, is posel, and by Truma it only goes as far as shlishi. And another din, over Truma im nitmes achas miyadav chaverta tahora. When it comes to Truma, if one of your hands becomes tameh, let's say one of your hands touched liquids that were tameh, like we just said, that it makes a machine of the Truma, or one of your hands touched a sefer Torah or whatever, the other hand remains tahor. You can eat truma with your other hand. Over kodesh,
we did the other day.
No, we didn't. We didn't.
We spoke about one hand being tameh and not the other.
No, I don't think we did. No. Well, by Kodesh, Matbilshtehen. By Kodesh, you have to tovel both of them, which means, by the way, two things. For Truma, we said you only have to wash your hands. For Kodesh, we said in the Mishnah and the previous Tredek, you have to tovel them. But besides that, you have to tovel both of them, even though only one is Tamei. Shayad Matame es Chavitza by Kodesh, Avalei Truma, because one hand makes the other one Tamei by Kodesh, but not by Truma. Another din, Ochlim Ochlim Beguvim V'Yadayim Mitzvahavis, Truma. If you're eating dry food, meaning food that has never been Mukhshel L'Kabel Truma, it never touched any of the seven Mashkim, so you're allowed to eat it with Tamei Dika hands for Truma. It's anyway not Mukhshel L'Kabel Truma. Your hands, even though they're shniyos, are not going to make the Truma Shlishi because it's not Mukhshel L'Kabel Truma, so therefore it's fine. Avaloi B'Kodesh, we're not allowed to do that with Kodesh.
Isn't the person the Tamei himself?
No, that's the thing. Midrabanan, his hands can be Tamei and the rest of him is Tahor. His hands, let's say he touched the Sefer Torah with his hands.
Yeah.
Or Kisvei Kodesh, whatever. His hands are shniyos L'Truma, or even he didn't touch anything. Stam Yodayim are shniyos.
Right.
This food never became wet since it was picked. He's allowed to eat it without washing his hands.
But he himself is not telling me.
No.
His hands are shneel.
No. That's the whole point. His hands are the whole, just the hands, yeah.
That's
but by Kodesh, not. By Kodesh, you have to tovel his hands
completely
first.
Completely
No. We still say that there's hands versus the body, but he actually has to tovel his hands. Yeah. And the last one, Ha'onin Mechusik Kippurim, Tzvichin Tzvila LaKodesh, Havaloi LaTruma. An Onin and a Mechusik Kippurim, somebody who has not yet brought his Korbanos, Tzrich and Tzvila LaKodesh, they need to tovel before they can eat Kodesh. Avaloi LaTruma, but they don't need that in order to eat Truma. Truma, all they need is truma, all they need is head of Shemesh. And after they bring the carbon, they don't need head of Shemesh at all. So this is the long Tosfos over here that discusses the various cases when we say that a Tomei needs head of Shemesh and where not. Tosfos goes through many different places in Shas and about the pros and cons of all of that. So Rashi gives the example. Let's say you have a Zav.
Yeah.
He counted as seven clean days.
Yeah.
He tovel on the seventh day.
Right.
He had head of Shemesh. On the day he tovel, he's a tvul yom, he's a shein.
Right.
Once he had head of Shemesh, then he's tahor. He's allowed to eat truma at that point. But he's not allowed to eat kodshim until he brings his korban. And that's midaraisa. Midrabanan, on top of that, after he brings his korban, he has to tovel.
Again.
And
why is that?
We'll learn in the Gemara in a few days.
That's surprising.
Yeah.
If he bought his carbon, thing is
ours. But nevertheless, we're saying midrabanan. We make an extra thing for Kodesh that he has to tovel again.
Yeah.